How many of you have ever received a gift and your first thought was, what do I need that for? Or why did you give me that? Now, we don't actually say those things, right? But we might be thinking them upstairs. I'm sure we can think of something. Now, this actually happened to me on Father's Day. I was a little bit stunned, but it wasn't a total surprise because I had been looking at the item a little bit previously. My family got me a cordless battery-operated trimmer. And I thought, but the Scotsman in me had decided I don't need to spend the money. And so I had to kind of put that idea, because I already had a gas trimmer that worked really, really well and has all these attachments that you can plug in and really versatile. But they surprised me. I didn't really need a new tool. But you know what? Then I tried it, and it's really cool. It's so easy to use. The cartridge that you change the string is about the size of a half dollar. Pops out in about 30 seconds. And I can switch it with just one little twist. It switches to a trimmer to an edger. It's really lightweight. And I can do the whole yard in about 15 minutes. It's amazing. And so what had been a great chore, which I really did not like to do, now it's actually fun. So when I get done with the yard mowing, I ride around and do the trimming. It's really fun. And I was thinking about that gift and what had been kind of a stun moment really now has become a very valuable tool in my garage. And relating that to what God does for us, there's a gift that God has given all of mankind. And yet, they don't realize its value. In fact, they don't even acknowledge it in most cases. They don't even see the need for it. And so it's not appreciated, like the tool that now hangs in my garage wall. Can anybody guess what the gift is? The Sabbath. That's exactly right, the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a command, actually, from God. And so us being here today on the Sabbath day, it really sets us apart from almost all the globe. In fact, you've narrowed down even more, even Christianity, because most of Christianity doesn't celebrate the Sabbath, what we determine as the seventh day. So I'd like to answer the question today. Where's my clicker? Is it up? Is it the phone?
No.
There we go. I'll just give you the cue. Does that work? Well, I have a PowerPoint. I only one slide that really I need. We don't have.
She can do it.
I'll just cue you. Okay. We're going to answer the question, what makes the Sabbath special? What makes the Sabbath special? And the title is The Gift of the Sabbath. Gift of the Sabbath. So let's look at point number one. What makes the Sabbath special? You can probably guess a lot of these points. There's nothing too exotic. It's all basic today. I'm really going through a study of a lot of our basic doctrines. And I came across this at Sabbath, and I thought, well, that's a good thing to cover. What makes the Sabbath special? First, the Sabbath was established by God. The Sabbath was established by God. The Sabbath was established by God. Go with me back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 2. We know these stories, very familiar to us. But it's important that we pull out some of the basic truths of what we learn here. Genesis 2 and verse 2, it says that on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. So very basic scripture, God rested. Now, if you look up on Google, and you can do it while I'm speaking, it's not going to offend me. If you look up on the phrase, which day is the Sabbath? You're going to get a very quick answer. It's going to say Saturday. It's very, very pretty well known. If you look up on Britannica.com, you're going to get the same response. If you turn over to Webster's Dictionary, though, which is kind of an archaic thing these days because Google and Dictionary.com and all those websites out there, Webster says the seventh day of the week observed from Friday evening to Saturday evening as a day of rest and worship by Jews and some Christians. And then definition number two is a time of rest. So that's pretty basic. Let's go through Exodus chapter 20. Man is pretty clear on the definition of the day to most degrees, but we'll come to that in just a moment here. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. This is actually the instruction and the command of by God on the Sabbath day. God defines it as the seventh day. He says, remember the Sabbath day in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do your work. Now there's a principle in that scripture as well. We don't pay people to do nothing, right? God expects us to work. It's a work ethic that God has that Jesus Christ also displayed. When he came on the earth, he says, I and my Father work. So we're expected to do our part. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord, your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, your female servant, your cattle, nor your stranger who is in your gates. And then we point back to creation. And when it was established, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So God defines the Sabbath. So he established every seventh day since creation is holy. God did that. He set it up. He set up the time frame. We didn't define it. And man knows about it. We've seen it from the definitions. Every seventh day. Now man calls it Saturday. God calls it the Sabbath. But every seventh day. So there really should be no confusion of which day is the Sabbath. Because you look at languages all around the globe, over 100 languages calls it either Saturday, Sabbatismo, Sabbath, right? So man knows. There's an example that's given to us. The word Sabbath is never linked to the word Sunday in any language or the first day of the week. And in fact, we're not going to go through it today, but when was it changed? The association. 321 AD, Constantine declared that Sunday was the day of rest. Why was that? Well, they didn't want any association with the Jews. So we relate that to Romans 8, right? In the carnal mind that goes on, and thoughts in our head. Man doesn't like to be told anything by God. They hate anything that God's made. And so we have this separation from what God established as the seventh day to now the first day of the week. But every seventh day since creation is the Sabbath. Let's do the next slide, please. Every seventh day from creation is the Sabbath. I pulled this out of one of our old publications, the Master Bible College Correspondence Course, and the whole slideshow is based on this because I wanted to really show this. If you look at the bottom line, we see the creation days established and what God did, right? What he designed on each specific day. And if you go through that account in Genesis 2 and 3, most cases God calls it good. All but one, God says it's good. In fact, the last day he says it's very good. We connect that with the time divisions on the top half, or the top third. We know the patterns, right? Evening and morning, or darkness and light. 6 times that happens, and then the 7th time is the Sabbath. That pattern has always existed because God established it. So that pattern, all since the week of creation, going back until the very beginning of when God placed man on earth, has been and always will be the Sabbath, the seventh day. Now, right in the middle, you'll see how man has kind of shifted it. Because man counts time between when? Midnight to midnight. So we have this beginning of a shift to create, what is Satan good at? Confusion, right? To define the day. And so we have a little asterisk now whenever we have a holy day calendar that says what? The night before for Passover, right? Because we have to define, based on the confusion of when God established time, when God has established holy days, when God has established the Sabbath day or the seventh day. So this really, the illustration really shows God's system, what he established. I really like the illustration, and that's why I created that. God counts time completely different. God counts time evening and morning, sunset to sunset. And so, again, every seventh day is holy day created by God. The Sabbath day, the sundown, begins the Sabbath, the seventh day. You can reference Nehemiah 13 and verse 19 if you're looking for something a little more concrete than what's the creation account. Nehemiah actually defines sunset as when they begin to close the gates there to stop the selling of goods on the Sabbath day. God established the Sabbath. Let's move on to point number two. Next slide. The Sabbath was created holy. The Sabbath was created holy. So God established it. 7-day pattern. God designed that. Now, he says, well, that time is holy. That time is holy. Let's go back to Genesis 2 now. Once again, Genesis 2, verse 3. The Sabbath was created holy. Genesis 2 and verse 3. God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God created and made. Now, this word sanctified is pretty straightforward. It's the Hebrew word kodesh. It's spelled Q-A-D-A-S-H. And it means to dedicate. We know this probably from our studies. It means to be holy and to set apart. So not only did God establish a day, he also made it holy. You know, only one being in the universe can do that, and that's God. You can reference 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 2. It says, no one is holy like God. So only the being that created it could make it holy. That's astounding. Man can't change time. He tries to. We read about that in Daniel, right? Attempting to change times and seasons. But only God can establish it. God created the seventh day holy and dedicated to him. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 31. Very plain statement about the holiness of the seventh day, this day that we're here celebrating. Exodus chapter 31 and verse 14. God created the seventh day to be holy. He says here in Exodus 31 verse 14, you shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. So it's again a command, as we read about in Exodus 20. You shall keep the Sabbath, therefore. It is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. Whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people. Work shall be done for 6 days. Again, the principle of labor that God has established for us, that he set the example in. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. We get the point, right? It's holy. God made it holy because his presence established that day. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. Now, this word holy here is a slightly different from the one that we read in Genesis. This is kodesh. It's Q-O-D-E-S-H, and it comes from the same root word where it came from in Genesis. The exact same word. You think God wants us to understand that it's set apart and dedicated to him? He created it that way. The Strong's for this word says it's a sacred place or thing, dedicated and hallowed. Now we combine that with what the word study says, that it is the word indicates something consecrated and set aside only for sacred use. God established this day so that we could come before him. He knew we would need it. And isn't that amazing too, that he could see well in advance, and he said, you know what, I'm going to give you a gift. You're not going to appreciate it initially, but I know you're going to need it, so I'm going to make it for you. I love that. that God made this day for us to come before Him, to share time with Him, to reconnect in our life. Not that we're not doing that during the rest of the week, but especially we can reconnect on the Sabbath. God designed that for us. This word profane is very interesting. What do you think of when you think of profane? You might think of language. You might think of maybe the word desecration. If you've seen any of the parks or maybe a local park nearby you, do you have any graffiti? We've got a couple parks nearby us, and if you go downtown to Indianapolis, beautiful murals on some of the bridges underneath the canal, and there's graffiti on them. That's desecration. That's profaning. Now, that's in the physical sense, right? To take something that is maybe respected and admired, and you just destroy it. But let's apply that in the spiritual mindset to the Sabbath day. How do we profane that? Well, it means we're not respecting what God has designed. We might, what we read about in Isaiah, do our own thing. Do our own thoughts. Maybe we click on an email that came into our inbox. Oh, just this one little thing. I need to see what's going on. Do we really? Or maybe we hit a couple websites that it's the Sabbath. Should we go there? Probably not. Where does it take our mind? Is it on what God designed? Is it on what God intends us to be focused on? That's profaning. Are we giving honor to the being, not an individual, but a being who has always been? Are we honoring Him and giving the honor and respect for the gift that He gave us? This day, the Sabbath. Again, only God can make it holy. If we're not giving the honor, what are we doing? We're desecrating. We're profaning, as it says in the scripture, or polluting the Sabbath. We can do that all in our head up here. We can do it through our actions sometime, or maybe what we say, maybe how we conduct ourselves, polluting the Sabbath day. But the example that God gave is He rested. By resting on the seventh day, God put His divine presence in that time frame, that time period. God did that. He didn't need to stop working. God never tires. But He did. He established the holy time. God set it apart. God dedicated this day. He hallowed it. God did. Not man. God hallowed it. He made every future seventh day since the time He made man holy. God did. Every seventh day. It's God's time. It's not our time. Let's go back to Colossians chapter 1. It's not our time. Yes, we have activities we plan, and you know, we have all those things that we do on the Sabbath. And we do that, why? To enhance our worship, to enhance our submission to God, and to grow together as a family and do all those things. But it's God's time. Colossians chapter 1, who made the Sabbath? We need to be clear on this as well. Colossians 1 and verse 15. He, now who's being talked about here? It's the Son of God. Jesus Christ, you can reference back to 13. He is the image of the invisible God. So Jesus Christ is the image of the Father. That's what we're told here. The firstborn over all creation, so that can only be Jesus Christ. By Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible or invisible, whether thrones or dominions, principalities or powers. All things were created through Him and for Him. So Jesus Christ made the Sabbath through the power of the Holy Spirit at the command of the Father. That's pretty basic. So, we think about that concept. That's why Christ is called the Lord of the Sabbath. He made it. Mark 2:27, he's called the Lord of the Sabbath. And so, for sure, when he came on the earth and he pulls some grain because he needed a little snack, and he heals on the Sabbath day, those are examples. Christ wasn't profaning or desecrating in any way. It was an example for us. He made it. And so he shows us how to keep it and how to honor it and how to bless and enjoy the Sabbath day. He created it through the direction of the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Sabbath was created holy. Let's move on to point number 3. What makes the Sabbath special? The Sabbath was made for our good. Wow. The Sabbath was made for our good. You know, let's go to Mark 2:27. I mentioned it on the previous point, but I want to read it here. Actually, I think it's 2:28. I think I might have referenced the wrong scripture. Yep, I'm sorry. It's called the Lord of the Sabbath in verse 28. But here in verse 27, it says the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So it was a gift that God made for us. God picked it out at the very time of creation and said, I want you to have this. Let's read this in the new, I want to read this to the from the Good News Bible. It says, the Sabbath was made for the good of human beings. So God made the Sabbath. He established the time, right? Then he makes it holy. And now he tells us, it's for your good. What a beautiful thing that God did in making the Sabbath day. It was made for our benefit, to be a blessing. God knew we would need it. Let's go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10. A principle that relates to all of God's laws, but especially the Sabbath day. Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 12. The Sabbath was made for our good. Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. It says here, now Israel, now that's, he's talking to the nation, but we know the church is the spiritual Israel today. And God is grafting people into Israel, as Paul talks about. What does the Lord your God require of you? But to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord and his statutes, which I command you. So God, yes, he really commands them, but he says, why? For your good. Man doesn't realize the goodness that's in the Sabbath day. They will at some point, not today. Do we realize the great good that is in the Sabbath? The blessings and the benefit that comes from a time of rest. God created the Sabbath as our benefit. The New Revised Standard Version reads, to keep the commandments of the Lord your God for your own well-being. If you had to work all 7 days of the week, how would you feel? Now, you might do okay maybe 1 week, maybe a couple weeks. Let's look out about, 3 months, 6 months, maybe a year. How would you feel? I'd probably be wiped out, right? Maybe after a couple weeks, oh, man, I'm just... Yeah, we have a couple of those days, maybe during the work week, right? You get to the Sabbath, you're like, oh. This word rest means to desist from work. Now, okay, yeah, great, desist. How about put down your instruments? You know, I talked about my tool in my garage. We might have maybe a shovel or a hoe or something like that. You put those down. Put them away. And rest, physically. Rest. That's the first good that comes out of the Sabbath, right? We get the physical rest. But we also have, let's go to Exodus 23, another part of a rest that comes. Exodus 23, verse 12. We pick up something that was really, I think we really appreciate in the Sabbath. Exodus 23, verse 12. Let's go back there. God did this for our good. Man's going to recognize that at some point, that everything he's made is for our good. Exodus 23, 12, it says, 6 days you shall do your work. The seventh day you shall rest. So we're told to rest. I like that. Right? We can sleep in a little later, you know, enjoy a little nice cup of coffee maybe in the morning, read the paper. Not on the work day. It's all frantic. You're trying to get out the door, you want to get to the office, get into a meeting, whatever you got to do. On the Sabbath, you pause. Let's continue. It says that your ox and your donkey may rest. So the idea is your implements, right? Your tools may rest. And the son of your female servant and the stranger may be what? Refreshed. Ooh, yeah, I like that. We get to get refreshed. Mentally, spiritually, we're refreshed, right? God didn't need to rest because he never tires. So he made a day where we can rest. And he said, take advantage of it. Get refreshed. Connect with me. Study my truth. This word refreshed in the word study means a renewal of energy in mind and in body. And what do we do on the Sabbath? We take a breath, don't we? Right? What do you do when you like to go outside? Calm and peaceful. You listen to the birds. You're glad to see the flowers. What do? You pause. How does your body feel when you do that? It feels great. That's the gift of the Sabbath that God made for our good to take advantage of. I want to read an article from the Wall Street Journal that came out in May. This comes from May 7th of this year, actually, from Wall Street Journal. The share of Americans who don't identify with any religion continues to grow. Even many believers reject the concept of the Sabbath as a divinely ordained day of rest. So whether you're keeping Sabbath, seventh day, or you do Sunday, that whole concept of a day of rest is vanishing, is what they're saying. Continuing, it says, instead, we are encouraged to pursue lives of constant action and purpose. And we do. The Sabbath doesn't fit into the rhythm of our lives. It feels like an imposition. In fact, it is an imposition. That's the mindset in our world. Does that creep into our thinking? That sometimes we come to the Sabbath and we think, oh man, I got to do it again. Really? If we're not careful, that mentality can rub off on us, even as the people of God, that we can think that the Sabbath is an imposition. Even though God made it, even though God told us it's holy, and he says it's a gift, we can still find ourselves down that path occasionally if we're not careful. But God says that to take a rest. The Life Application Study Bible on this Exodus scripture says that we need rest. Without time, without the bustle, life loses meaning. But taking time is not easy. God reminds us that without the Sabbaths, plural, why? Because we have not just the weekly Sabbath, we have annual Sabbaths. And those focus on the great big picture of God's plan, do they not? Continuing, all of our activity can lose the balance crucial to a faithful life when we forget the Sabbath. That's what is going on all around us. And yet we're here today celebrating, rejoicing in, hopefully, the Sabbath. It refocuses us. It gives us rest. It gives refreshment. But it also does what? Honors God. Go with me back to Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. These aren't new scriptures for us. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. The Sabbath was made for our good. Isaiah 58 and verse 13. I want to read this to you from the Contemporary English Version, verse 13 and 14. This is from the Contemporary English Version. First, you must start respecting the Sabbath as a joyful day of worship. You must stop doing and saying whatever you please on this special day. Then you will truly enjoy knowing the Lord. He will let you rule from the highest mountains and bless you with the land of your ancestor Jacob. The Lord has spoken. That's the mindset we have to have on the Sabbath. So when sundown comes, we think different. And we're trying to do that the whole rest of the week. But on the Sabbath day, we got to work really hard at it, right? Because it's God's time. It's His day. So we totally focus on the purpose of that day. We think different. We approach the day different. Our activities are different. What we do and the time we spend in prayer hopefully is different. The time we spend with God is different. Maybe it should be increased. Because this day is different. God made it holy. Keeping the Sabbath shows our respect to God as Creator. Are we doing that on the Sabbath? Because God rested on the seventh day. Again, He didn't need to. But God did. He established a day for us to be with Him. It's a beautiful thing. We're unified as a physical family. Hopefully we're unified as a spiritual family on the Sabbath day. God designed this time to allow us to focus on Him and His sovereignty. There's a beautiful summary of the Sabbath back in Leviticus 23, in verse 3. God takes this, all these thoughts and ideas, and I love how he summarizes them for us here. Leviticus 23 and verse 3. And I want to again read this from the Contemporary English Version. Leviticus 23 and verse 3. It says, "You have 6 days when you can do your work." So we get to pick. Whatever we do in those 6 days, within the confines of God's laws, of course, we can do. 6 days when you can do your work. "But the seventh day of each week is holy, because it belongs to me." This is the Contemporary English Version, Leviticus 23 and verse 3. "No matter where you live, you must rest on the Sabbath and come together for worship. This law will never change." That's a beautiful summary of the Sabbath, isn't it? It will never change because God established it at creation. It's holy time. So God made the Sabbath for our good. Let's look at point number 4. What makes the Sabbath special? The Sabbath identifies God and His people. The Sabbath identifies God and His people. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 31 and verse 13. The Sabbath identifies God and His people. Exodus 31 and verse 13, very basic scripture for us again. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel," this is God talking to Moses, "surely my Sabbath you shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." Verse 16, "Therefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a perpetual covenant. It's a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed." So we heard about it in relation to us. Now God says, well, He was refreshed. God put a lot of energy into creating. Again, He didn't need the rest, but He did as a pattern of an example for us. He was refreshed. So the Sabbath identifies who God is and it identifies us as his people. This word sign is like a flag. Anybody fly a flag? Well, maybe not this weekend. But when do we fly flags? 4th of July? Maybe on Memorial Day? I like to fly it on Labor Day because it's kind of the end of the summer and you celebrate. But why do we do that? It's a sign that we're patriotic, right? We're maybe engaged with what's going on. God established the sign of the Sabbath to distinguish him and to distinguish his people. He set it apart as a flag. Every seventh day, it's a wonderful thing that God did. It's a beacon or a monument. It says the word, according to the word study, is often used to describe all inspiring events. So read through the account of creation. God, when he made it, it was very good. God made man, put the male and the female in the garden and taught them. And then he made the Sabbath. It's a beautiful thing. It's a two-way sign, right? It establishes God and it establishes his people. It goes back and forth. God knows who his sanctified ones are. What does it say? Let's go back and read that. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies or sets you apart, calls you. God did that. So God gives the Sabbath as a sign. Let's go back to 1 Peter chapter 2. By keeping the Sabbath, we illustrate our willingness to submit to God, to guide our life and our thoughts and our worship. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. What is God doing? 1 Peter 2 verse 5, it says here, you as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Verse 9, again, who sanctifies? It's God. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Now, why did God choose Israel? They were to be a nation of example, a physical nation. What is God doing through the church? He's establishing a spiritual nation, a spiritual example that God can use in the kingdom, us as teachers with Jesus Christ, that God can use as a model of how to implement the seventh day. Mankind has to be taught that. How's God going to do that? He has to do that through an example. And we're told that here in Peter. Let's continue. You're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. God does that through the calling, which comes from the Spirit. His own special people. He tried that with the nation. Again, they failed. Because why? They didn't have God's Spirit. We do. God's going to use us as that example. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but now are the people of God, who had not obtained the mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the Sabbath identifies God and it identifies his people. The two-way sign. That's why it's so important to God that we keep these things. Again, the nation of Israel was just a physical type of what God is doing through the church. And we know the term, right? The ecclesia, the called out, the sanctified, chosen by God, identified, that we acknowledge and that we submit on this day of the Sabbath. The holy nation of God that we keep, that God will use to teach all nations when we're born into the kingdom of God. Let's move on to point number 5. What makes the Sabbath special? The Sabbath pictures the kingdom. The Sabbath pictures the kingdom. Do you realize that? Every seventh day, when the sun sets, we get to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. Every week, Is that in our mind when we keep this day? Now we know Israel tried and they failed. We have the power of God's Spirit, and so we look forward to when Christ is going to come on in the clouds, right, and put his feet on the Mount of Olives and return to save and rescue mankind from the destruction that Satan is going to bring about through the power and his influence using man. This day pictures that intervention of God and the great change and the great reset that God is going to bring when Jesus Christ returns. On this day, I'm not saying he returns on this day. This day pictures that time. And so every week, we get to celebrate what we will celebrate in a couple of weeks at the Feast of Trumpets. But every seventh day, we get to do that. Our mind should be focused on that. And the great blessing that it is that we have that understanding. Go with me over to Hebrews chapter 3. The book of Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4, or the chapters rather, they talk about the keeping of the Sabbath and why it's so important. And we're encouraged to do these things because it keeps us focused on what God is doing. You know, for Israel to enter the Promised Land, that was their Sabbath, because it meant a rest from all the warring nations and all the pillaging that was taking place as they dwelt as strangers in the land. God was bringing them to a time of rest when they would have a kingdom and a nation established. So for them, the inheritance of the Promised Land pictured the rest. What is it for us? Well, the rest is the kingdom. Because what's our work today? Our work is overcoming sin. Our work is battling against the human nature that we hate that's inside of us. When is that rest going to come? When we're changed. When the seed of the Spirit that God has is, if we're faithful and throughout our life until the last moment, when God changes that into Spirit, then we don't have to battle anymore. That's a rest. We don't have to battle against our adversary. He's going to be gone. We don't have to battle against the sin because our mind will be perfect. The character of God will be given in its fullness. And this is all pictured in the seventh day, the kingdom of God in this day. Let's go to Hebrews 4. I do want to read this section of Scripture here in Hebrews 4 and verse 1 through 8. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, and so that was looking forward to the rest that God will bring through his kingdom, let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. And so now we're looking backward to when Israel failed to enter and to fulfill what God had planned. Let us fear lest any of you seem to come short of it. So the idea is we should stay faithful. Verse 2, we're told a tremendous truth. The gospel was preached to us as well as to them. Now again, to them, it meant the promised land. To us, it means the kingdom. But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. And so, because we have the power of the Spirit, we do have a bit of a rest. Right? Because we can overcome with God's help. It's not complete and it's not total, but we do have a little bit of rest. And each seventh day, we have a rest that refocuses us. Let's continue. For we who have believed do enter that rest, for he has said, so I swore my wrath, I shall not enter a rest. Again, a warning for us, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Again, pointing to what? God's plan will be completed. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Hebrews was written by Paul. Who taught Paul? Jesus Christ. Right? During the time he was in Arabia. Who could relay these thoughts? Paul. Who is the Lord of the Sabbath? Jesus Christ. So we have this tremendous connection. And so Paul ties all these ideas together, and he relates it to the Sabbath. Since, therefore, it remains, in verse 6, that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter it because of disobedience, again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If Joshua had given them rest, then they would not have afterward have spoken of another day. I want to read some comments from our booklet. You probably have this in your library. God's Sabbath, sunset to sunset, God's Sabbath rest. This comes from page 49. The book of Hebrews cleverly weaves three themes of rest. The rest of the rest promised to Israel from enemies, the physical rest of the weekly Sabbath, and the spiritual rest through Christ. The Sabbath retains its old covenant meanings that identify God's specially sanctified people and points them back to God as creator. We talked about that a couple points ago. Added to that is the new covenant meaning of entering into another rest through Jesus Christ. Christ relays that idea through what? Peace I give to you. Peace I leave with you, all those because through the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, right? Continuous is fulfilled in type by the rest given to Israel during Joshua's time. The spiritual rest now begins in this life and reaches its consummation in the resurrection to eternal life at the return of Christ. I want to read verse 9 and 10 to you in the Contemporary English Version. This is Hebrews 4, 9 and 10 in the Contemporary English Version. God has promised us a Sabbath when we will rest, even though it has not yet come. On that day, God's people will rest from their work, just as God rested from his work. Again, we won't have to battle sin. Our work of overcoming will be over. And it's pictured in the seventh day. It's a beautiful thing that God gave. And we have this whole idea wrapped around in what? The kingdom of God. The time that we celebrate, starting with the Feast of Trumpets, when Christ returns, Satan will be bound in atonement, and then it leap forwards through the feast days, the Feast of Tabernacles, when God's truth is poured out, the Spirit is poured out, and then we go back to the eighth day, right? When all those who've never even heard of what we can gratefully understand will finally get it, and God will be praised and honored. All that, and even lumping in what God begins at the springtime when he offers forgiveness and the calling. All of that is pictured in this day, the Sabbath. Pictures God's kingdom. Now we lump the term God's kingdom, we have, it's kind of a grandiose idea. It's the idea that God will rule, is all it means. When Jesus Christ will take the truths and send them out. And then eventually he will give the kingdom or the rulership to the Father. We don't have much written about that. It's a wonderful time. We have to stick around to find what that's going to be like. And all those ideas are pictured in the Sabbath. And each week, when that sun goes down, we get to celebrate that. I love that. We can do that every seventh day. Reminded of the fulfillment of God's plan. The Sabbath is a tremendous gift that God has given. You know, soon everyone is going to realize what God did, what he created, what he shares with mankind, and they will recognize how much they really do need the Sabbath, just as we hopefully see that today. God established it. He created it holy. He gave it to us for our good. It identifies us and him. and it points us towards his coming kingdom. Let's go back to James chapter 1 as we conclude this message here today. James 1 and verse 17. It's a gift. The gift of the Sabbath. James 1 and verse 17. We're told here, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Appreciate the gift of God's Sabbath.